Welcome to a Thursday morning. Welcome to a Thursday morning in the great city of Atlanta on the Odyssey app with 130,000 watts from Macon, Georgia to Suwanee to Flowery Branch to Decula, Dahlonega, Savannah, Augusta. I don't care. We've got it. Finally on a signal worthy of my talent.
Big stick energy for Steak Shapiro.
Absolutely. We've got it going on. The Odyssey app that you can hear anywhere. That's where Mrs. Golden listens and Mrs. Shapiro in their respected Panama City and the great city of Chestnut Hill, Brookline, Massachusetts. Good morning to you. How are you?
I am so awesome because in 14 hours and 45 minutes, the Atlanta Falcons will be on the clock making their pick in the 2025 NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't matter where they pick. We've been here with no first rounders, and we still talk about it for 2 months. Other years, obviously, when we're picking as high as we have been, even more urgency. You're picking right in the middle of the draft. So,
Do you think a station in, let me pick random Idaho.
Jacksonville.
Boise, Idaho. Talks as much about the NFL draft. No, let me even be better.
Yeah,
NFL town. Detroit.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God, yes. Especially the Lions are going to be the sexy. Yeah, I think every NFL city is doing the same thing. What I wonder about is a place like Boston, Indianapolis, Philly's not in the playoffs. We're like, teams are in the NBA playoffs. The baseball season's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, does the NFL draft still trump? So, like, I looked at, okay, you know, the New York Post or the Boston Globe or the Chicago Tribune, where, you know, you got teams that are in the postseason. Like, the Knicks are in the playoffs. The Mets are on fire. They won again yesterday, right? Mets beat the Phillies.
Y'all, the Mets doing.
Mets record in baseball. Dodgers keep losing. Cubs beat them again. My point is, NFL wins. The NFL wins, and then it wins again. And then it wins again. And it don't matter.
And my thought is, in the Southeast, it even matters more because of our love for our college football.
Yeah, I mean.
Because now we're watching, you know, we're obsessed with the Georgia players. And we're, you know, in Tallahassee, Florida, the FSU. I think
we know more about the players.
It just means more is what I'm trying to say.
I don't think it means more than it does in Pittsburgh or than it does in Chicago.
Yeah. No, you're probably right.
But I know what you're saying. Like, we have more familiarity because we're going to see more SEC players taken. But, dude, they're obsessed with it. I mean, I'm reading a paper. Yeah. Like, they're.
And the NFL just wins, like you said. That's just how
it is. The NFL wins the offseason. They win, you know, they win during OTAs. Mm-hmm. They win during the schedule release. They win during preseason. I mean,
it's not close.
No,
the
I
NFL
mean,
is the great and powerful Oz.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
And you know, if you watch the way people follow European soccer or, you know, any of the great leagues in the world, that's what the NFL is. None of the other leagues are like that here. You know, someone was just telling me they went to a Real Madrid game or they went to a Man United game. They're like, dude, you can't even, you know, Liverpool, you can't even equate anything going on in America to what the passion level is for
international
those
soccer.
Teams. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the NFL is close. You know, the NFL is close. And how do we know that? Because they win every week with their ratings, and they're five times. Whatever NBA playoff game may seem interesting, the 4:25 game, week 8 on Fox will outdraw the Timberwolves-Lakers tonight with Luka and Anthony Edwards, whatever night the game 3 is. That will be one-sixth the audience of a week 8 game.
Right.
The NFL. So do we spend a lot of time? I mean, more on some of the other shows because Mikey obviously is so dialed in with the Falcons, and Mike Bell is his passionate Falcon fan, and we're doing a lot of other things. We only get 2 hours, but
I just enjoy listening to our station all day. I mean, Dave Archer's conversation with the morning shift this morning was as good as it gets, and his depth of knowledge, and he's so close to the Falcons, you can kind of read between the lines.
Well, I mean, think about it. We've had a top 10 pick for 4 straight years.
Which is not a good thing.
Yeah. No, it does not mean things are going well. Normally you get out of that. So at least we're at 15 this year, which, you know. Here's a cut we want to play, which is the possibility We don't have a lot of picks and we don't have a lot of players, but the possibility rating up again and getting the best pass rusher from Penn State. Mm-hmm. Here's Terry Fontenot yesterday, what he had to say about it.
It always sounds good, and we're obviously going to look at it. We're going to make the right decision for the team, but you have to have a willing partner. Sometimes someone will say, well, just trade down here and do this. Well, is somebody going to trade? You know, and that's going to depend on what's still on the board at that time. So what we have to do is when we're on the clock, we have to look at the players that are there and weigh out what we can get in the trade back, if there's an option as a trade back, and just compare that and weigh those things out. So those conversations prior to the draft, leading up to it, and make the right decision for the team on the clock.
Okay, he's back. But at some point also he said 75% of the time I've traded up.
In his, yeah.
But they don't have the goods to trade up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just don't have it. They don't have enough draft picks. They can't give up number ones from next year, I don't think. And they really don't have the players to offer. I heard some packages, crazy packages, that Cleveland may get offered to take their pick if folks want Travis Hunter
at two.
Mm-hmm. And they're talking about giving up, you know, what are we here this morning? I was listening. I don't know. Just like a starter, a number one, just trade 2 to 4, right? And you're still going to have to give up a number one and a full-time starter. And like – That's to get back a fourth pick. To get a 15th pick, nobody's trading with us to get us up unless we're giving up 2 number ones, and we're not going to do that. So
I think it is.
I love how people say there's only one dominant pass rusher in the draft. I get it that it is such, but, you know, I mean, there's second-round picks that are the best pass rushers in the draft. There's the Micah Parsons of the world that go later in the first round. You know, it is the absolute inexact science of inexact science. So, you know, we'll look back.
Well, Abdul Carter is projected to go so early.
Yeah.
I was more thinking if you jump from a 15 to a 9 or a 10 or 11, if Jalen Walker, God, I don't even think he's going to be there at that, honestly.
He'll be there. I think that's where he's going to be,
yeah.
8, so 9, 10. But, I mean, what are you giving up? Like, you're asking somebody to go backwards, and what assets do the Falcons offer? You know, I mean, even you think about the biggest trade up, a couple of them in history, right? Dan Reeves trades up to get Michael Vick.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Dimitroff trades up to get Julio Jones.
And gave up 5 picks.
Right. He gave up a whole – and it wasn't that, you know, big a leap. And the Chargers made it work because they end up with Drew Brees as their quarterback. I think we end up with Michael Vick. But even when we traded – I don't remember who we traded with to get Julio Jones, but it was a
– Wasn't it
Cleveland?
Cleveland, yeah.
But it was a lot of assets that we don't have. So,
yeah, we are a very vulnerable position.
And we don't have a lot of picks.
We are not the cool kid at the class.
No, exactly. There are towns that are going to remake their entire roster with 9 picks, right? And they're going to be bouncing
and
around.
You know, go look at the picks the Eagles have.
I know.
Over and over, crazy. They have so many picks.
It feels the Eagles like what we knew about the Braves 4 years ago. Like, we may not win a World Series every year, but if Austin Riley's over there at third base and Ozzie Albies is at second and Ronald Acuna's out in the outfield and Matt Olson and or Freddie, like, we know we're going to be in the mix. And there's like, Philadelphia is absolutely in the mix regardless for
the
next.
One of the youngest rosters in the NFL,
I know. You want to talk about a fan base that wakes up and goes, well, we'll be competing for a Super Bowl next year, which is not unlike what New England had for 20 years. That was because of one guy, right? I mean, there are towns you wake up, Kansas City will say that, right?
Yeah.
We know we're going to be in the hunt for a Super Bowl. Buffalo thinks they're going to be. Braves, we talked about the luxury of the Braves. Why do they get the benefit of the doubt? Because every year we feel like we have a chance. We're going to be in the tournament and could win a World Series.
Relevant.
That's what you want. And there's nobody that's waking up in Atlanta thinking, we got a chance to be playing in a Super Bowl. Nobody's thinking that. There's not enough good players to do that. The only thing we're thinking about is can we win a division? Can we end?
Can we get to the playoffs?
Right.
Please.
Can we end a 7 year?
Seven year itch.
And I don't know that the 15th pick of the draft is going to change us going to the playoffs. I have thoughts we'll do after the break about what's going to make us go to the playoffs, and it's not going to be the 15th pick in the draft, in my opinion. Let's do a quick look at not a lot going on. Braves win an afternoon game in 9-9.
I have a little bit of a headache because Steak and I were trying to figure out if the NFL draft starts at 8 and they go every 10 minutes. We're like, okay, so then divide it by 4 into 60. We came up with about 10:45 to 11:15. So take a little nap, Braves at Falcon fans, and there you
You'll go. You'll be halfway through the draft. The draft should end around 12:30. It starts at 8, which means Falcons, I think, will pick around 10:15.
Braves take the series. Braves win 4-1, beating the Cardinals. Eli White is your hero with the 3-run bomb in the bottom of the 8th.
Yeah, I think he starts over Verdugo, who was having a really good homestand. And you're like, why do you take Verdugo out of it? It's like the old days when Snit just has a hunch, puts Eli White in there, wins a game
for him. He said prior to the game, you guys, this is the day to give him some rest. He didn't have a spring training, and he looks out to be the smartest guy in the room. Braves are off today, 3 in Arizona, then 3 in Colorado. Mets win again, y'all. I'm bringing it up. They just swept the Phillies, 3 at home. They are now 12-1 at home, 18-7 overall. Geez. Braves are 7.5 out of first place, but they're only 2.5 games behind the Phillies, y'all. So I know. I can dream. NBA, you want me to go over the scores last night? I'm sure you already know.
Let me ask you a question.
What?
It's the playoffs, okay. And you keep asking me, do I want you to go
over
the scores?
I know, but I look at the time.
Are we in a different
win.
Are we in a different format?
Did you know the Celtics won?
Yeah,
Boston.
I did. Jason Tatum didn't play.
I think you would enjoy watching the Celtics once in a while.
Jalen Brown last night.
36 points.
Spectacular.
So did Jason Tatum, they knew he wasn't going to play?
Yeah, he was questionable
he was
all day.
Okay, gotcha. Donovan Mitchell had 30. Cleveland wins again, 121-112. They're up 2-0.
Yeah, that Heat team that we lost to... They are nothing. They'll be out in 4 games.
Wow. Golden State at Houston.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler injured. Looks like a serious injury. Rockets get the win there.
109-94.
Golden State has no shot without Jimmy Butler.
Game 3 is tonight. Knicks at Pistons. OKC at Memphis. Nuggets at Clippers.
All right, we come back, a couple of things to get to, including the fascinating saga of Kirk Cousins and why the 15th pick isn't going to tell us about where we're going to be next year. More conversation, I think it's of the NFL variety. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stakey, Sandy. When I say I'm going to get a haircut. Do you laugh? Do people laugh when I say, like, I'm going to get a haircut?
Yes.
You understand.
Because you are bald.
No, but I'm being serious.
Yeah.
Shout out to, by the way, Vintage. So Mark Arum goes to the same hair place as I do.
Oh, wow.
And he has hair.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly Mark Arum gives them a shout out. And I was like, bro, I got a better audience than Mark Arum. Those are old people over there at WSB. Forget about them. So there's my shout out. But I was like, yeah. And I say to people, I'm going to get a haircut. I'm going to the barber. They mock me. They laugh.
Did you go yesterday?
Yeah, I went yesterday, and it was very enjoyable. And I was in
the
chair for
like... Do you do the whole
like,
hot towel and a yeah. nice shave? Oh, look at
eyebrows,
you.
Eyebrows, ears,
nice.
Like tight,
no, they do
tight
your nose
shaving.
Hairs?
Yeah, they do it. Yeah, they do all of it. They clean you up.
Y'all, man, did you just hear what Steak said? All of it.
Yeah.
The ears,
I should
the
go-
nose. Like, take care of that stuff, y'all.
It should.
And the other regions. Take care of y'all self. It will benefit nicely for all of you, I'm telling you.
They're not going to do other regions, Sandra.
Well, you should probably take care of that at home. Keep yourself groomed.
Okay.
You're welcome.
But my point is, I enjoy, like, I'd go every 2 weeks, just it's not that near my house. Or like, you know, don't laugh at a bald guy when he says he's going to the barber. It's just, don't say that.
How long does it take?
Well, this young lady, I don't know, she's awesome. She's the owner's wife. Nice girl from Brooklyn. I was in that chair for 25 minutes. Most days it's 15, but you're shaving the whole head.
Wow.
Straight razor, warm towel.
Feels so good.
So just when a guy's bald, it's just like a public service thing. Don't mock him when he says, I'm going to the barber, right? Is that what guys say? Does Larry go get a shave?
Yes.
Does he say, I'm going to the barber? Does he say, I'm getting a haircut? What does he say it? How's he phrase it?
I'm going to get cleaned up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
I think that's a good like Father's Day gift or a gift for your guy, by the way. Gals. Okay.
Go ahead. Is what? Go get a nice
That's a nice gift card or a gift certificate to a nice, nice. I know Van Michael does a great job, a little spa day.
A little expensive, but yes. That's why you could say barber.
Okay.
Cheaper than
how much is it? I don't have any idea. Oh, that's not bad. Good. Okay.
I wish people would stop thinking that this 15th pick is gonna be the key to how good the Falcons are going to be, because it's not. It's just not. Like, the reality is the Atlanta Falcons turn their franchise around if Michael Penix is pretty good. And when I say pretty good, like middle-of-the-road quarterback. When I say middle-of-the-road, meaning out of 32 quarterbacks, be like 18th, right? 18th, you did the quarterback rankings, right?
Yeah, the NFL ranked him after 2024.
Yeah, yes. That would put him in Dak Prescott. Jalen Hurts is ranked pretty low, right?
Yep, 15.
Right?
Bo Nix was ranked 16.
Mm-hmm. Tua Tagovailoa. Like, if you heard that he was as good as Tua, would that be good enough for you? Or you would say
yes.
Okay, so he needs
Kyler Murray was 15, Jalen was 16. Go ahead.
Kyler Murray had a pretty good year last year. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray is a legitimate starting quarterback in the NFL with a lot of talent. My point is, you can't even hope for better than that, right? I mean, he's not going to be Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Pat Mahomes, elite top 10 quarterback. It's just not Lamar Jackson. So he needs to be mid quarterback, like, you know, top 18. And then you need, obviously, Bijan and Drake London to be superstars, right?
Turn it up a notch.
Mm-hmm. The rest of that receiving crew also, like, you know, it's deep enough, Darnell Mooney and company. I'm not even going to say Kyle Pitts because I don't know why we think after 4 years, it's like your mom would say, if someone shows you who they are, believe them, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And then it's the group over the last few years, Rook Aroro, Zach Harrison, Arnold Ebiketie, Braylon Trice, Brandon Dorlus. Like, those are the guys we drafted. That's called development. Did you develop any of those guys? Leonard Floyd, our best chance for a free agent pass rusher. But, I mean, to think at 15, this obsession with we got to get our pass rusher, as if at 15 we're going to have a rookie come in and change the trajectory of the franchise. You want to know the last 15th picks?
Yes.
Tell me how many of these guys you think changed their franchise. Latu for the Colts last year, which is the guy we were thinking of taking
mm-hmm.
at 8. And by the way, he's not as good as Jared Verse, right, who went right ahead of him.
That's exactly right.
Jared Verse was a defensive. Was he defensive rookie of the year, Bo?
Yes.
Jared Verse? Will McDonald was 15 2 years ago for the Jets. Kenyon Green for the Texans. Mac Jones from the Patriots. Jerry Jeudy from the Broncos. By the way, those guys don't play with their teams anymore. Dwayne Haskins was a quarterback 6 years ago. Colton Miller, Malik Hooker, Corey Coleman, Melvin Gordon, Ryan Shazier. I don't know if there's maybe two Pro Bowl appearances in a decade at 15, is my point.
I see, yeah.
Like, what do you think you're getting at 15?
Let me ask you something. Let's just go with Mike Green, because that seems to be the favorite.
Yeah.
If they land, you don't think he starts right away?
I think
whoever they draft at 15 better start right away.
Yeah.
So you're not saying that, but you don't expect him to have 10 sacks.
I'm just saying 15th picks rarely.
Right, I see.
Listen, I just started going around. Now, again, go 2-3 picks higher to the 12th pick. You tell me, Bo, what 12th picks look like to you. Bo Nix, franchise changer.
Mm-hmm.
Jahmyr Gibbs, friggin' mm-hmm. superstar.
Yep.
Jameson Williams, Micah Parsons,
mm-hmm.
Henry Higgs, Vita Vea, Watson, Odell Beckham, Sheldon Rankins of the Saints. Those guys change the trajectory of your franchise. They're the 12th picks,
wow.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Micah Parsons, remember, 11 teams passed on him. You go to the 10th pick in the draft, I'm just bouncing around. J.J. McCarthy hasn't played yet. Darnell Wright of the Bears. Garrett Wilson of the Jets, unbridled disaster. Devon, nice pick. Jedrick Wilson of the Browns. Devin Bush of the Steelers. Rosen of the Cardinals.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Right.
That's at 10. So, like, your star could be a third rounder. Your star could be a, you know, late second. Like, I don't know, you know, we're just trying to throw enough darts that between whoever we take at 15, who you say our favorite is right now?
Mike Green.
Mike Green or mm-hmm. Arnold Ebiketie or Zach Harrison Is somebody going to get after the quarterback? And we hope that he'll be one of those people. But this trajectory changing of the Falcons, those guys are already there. So either, like Bijan was saying the other night, y'all don't realize we are one little step away from a juggernaut.
Okay.
And what he's saying is myself and
Drake.
Yeah, who am I thinking of? Running back. That was a great pick for the Falcons.
Oh, my God. The best pick of all time. Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah.
Fifth rounder, y'all. Woo.
So myself.
And Grady Jarrett was a fifth rounder.
Myself and Tyler Allgeier. Drake London. And Bijan. And Ray McCloud. And Darnell Mooney. And Kyle Pitts. And our offensive line.
Michael Penix.
Michael Penix. That's where it's going to change. A dynamic offense that goes up and down the field and is got a star at quarterback. And when I say star, I'm talking about he's the 18th best quarterback in the league, which is where Dak Prescott is now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is where, you know, Bo Nix, an unquestioned friggin' home run for the Denver Broncos, right? So can you hope to be better than Bo Nix? Probably not.
Dak is 19th after the 24 season.
Who's 10 through 15 as top quarterbacks in the
NFL? You will not be surprised. At 10, Geno Smith. Jordan Love is 11. Matthew Stafford is 12. Brock Purdy is 13th. Bryce Young is 14.
Yeah.
And then Kyler Murray at 15.
So he can be better than Bryce
Young. And this
Young,
is based on just 24 stats from the NFL Network.
His stats are just their own ranking.
It's their ranking through the 24 stats they did.
My point is, I'll watch. Mike Johnson will be in here. We'll talk more about it, right?
Yeah.
It's exciting anytime a first-rounder's in your building. It's going to be exciting a second-rounder. It's more exciting when there's 10 guys in the draft. Your chance for a few of those guys to hit are different. But that, you know, you look at the last 15th picks, maybe two Pro Bowlers. Maybe three. It's a crapshoot. Like we talked about the 12th picks. There's six Pro Bowl. 10th pick, there were none. It's a friggin' crapshoot. That will change Arthur Blank's life, Terry Fontenot, and Raheem Morris's life in terms of getting us off the schneid are already in the building. They were just there. They're at OTAs. They're going to change the franchise, or they're not. And if Michael Penix Jr. needs a couple of years to get his feet under him, right? Then what are we? We're the same thing that we've been.
The Braylon Trice pick last year, Stake, third overall, and he blows out his ACL.
Third overall.
Third round pick. Preseason game number one, he blows out his ACL. That almost is like we're not talking about that enough.
Well, he's the
for
guy
him
that,
to come back.
Yeah, he's the guy that on draft day number two, everybody said the Falcons got an absolute steal. Mm-hmm. Of a guy that could be a real factor on the defensive front, and then he's done. So, but how can you count on a guy that's never played a snap in the NFL and is coming off as an ACL?
ACL.
Right.
But so, my point being is we didn't see him at all. That's my point.
Yeah, I know.
Of like, okay, so that's like a little bonus pick on a year when you only have five.
I agree. So. I would prefer he would have played 16 NFL games or 17, right?
Yep. Just,
so... It's like another rookie is what you're saying. It's like another rookie.
It's almost like it just you don't have a third round pick this year.
I know.
So okay.
You don't have a fifth round
Braylon
pick.
Trice.
You don't have a fifth round pick.
Just saying.
So
optimism.
So you're talking that's a good thing for us?
I think that's a silver lining from that, like at least in a year where you only have five picks and you don't have a third round pick.
The silver lining to me is Raheem took over the defense when he took it away from Jimmy Lake. We absolutely got after the quarterback. Remember me and you were sitting here at 10 sacks in 10 games,
mm-hmm.
and then we had 10 sacks in three games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the guys that could win for us are already in the building, right? Let's just add to it tonight. But 15th picks don't change franchises. They do not. Do Georgia players change franchises? How many dogs are going tonight? Rusty Manziel, when we come back, Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak and Sandra, NFL draft coverage will be spectacular on this radio station. So They get everybody working tonight. I don't know exactly who, but a lot of people. Mike Johnson, obviously.
Not us.
He'll be at the helm. No, they're not turning to me. They are turning to me. I went to a new pizza place yesterday in Alpharetta that's blown up on social media. I asked the question, is this the top pizza place OTP? It's a spot in downtown Alpharetta. My wife works in that area, so I went and surprised her for lunch. Just said, it's your lucky day. You're going to get to have lunch.
Wow, Kimberly, good for
and
you.
I'm going to video while we're having lunch, which is going to be really romantic. Right?
She really loves
no,
that.
No. Like, we got to shoot that again.
Oh.
Hang on. The camera eats first. Hold on, kid. Nope, you got to film. Yeah. Maybe it wasn't as romantic as I thought it was.
It was not. Now, what's the name of the pizza place?
It's called Mini Olivia Pizzeria. It's a huge pizza place.
Okay.
Alpharetta's got so many restaurants mm-hmm. in downtown Alpharetta. That is a whole scene over there, right?
Yes, love it.
I don't know where the pizza is in Rome. Is there, Rusty, is there a great pizza spot in downtown Rome?
No, but I'll give you an all-timer. It's called Pizza Farm in Rockmart. It's been there for probably 40 or 50 years, man. Great salad bar, make homemade Thousand Island, that type of place. But Pizza Farm, free shout-out. You
pizza
should go there.
Farm.
Pizza Farm, old school.
What was the pizza place in Athens? Cellini's uncle owned it or brother? Or do you know what I'm talking about? When you were going to, what was the name of it? Yep.
We also went to Sons of Italy, which had great sandwiches and pizza, too. So that was a great place, too. Yep.
Anywhere else in Athens I'm not thinking of when you were there? I don't know. I'll get it. It was Cellini's family had a place that was there for years. Anyways, listen, what do you do? Are you, like, stretching right now? Or are you, like, just, you know? I mean, how do you get ready for the draft? How do you get ready
for it? One of those rare days where I do hot yoga. I get up, got a Celsius hot yoga, got my high school jersey on. It's going to be a good day, man, ready to roll. Got my 75-inch ready to roll.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a super fun night to see where guys land. I don't know if you heard my diatribe, and that everybody needs to be realistic. And I read off the last 15th picks, and you know, I think maybe two Pro Bowlers in the bunch. And my point is, the guys that are going to affect us are already there. And it's what can they do? And it's not like we got 10 picks and get four starters. We got like five picks, you know. So you just have to be realistic on what impact this draft has on the Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, we can get an impact player here. I think this is what I'm reading. I think the census on this, the general consensus is it's not a ultra talented at the top, but it is really deep. Listen, Steak, nobody's made any trades yet. And from what I'm reading, nobody's making trades because they think the second and third round is pretty deep. So, you know, I still think at 15, there's some value there. I still think I'm very excited about the second pick too. Where do we go at 46?
I agree. I mean, but you know, there are other years. There are teams sitting on 2-2s, 1-1, you know, 2-4s, a 5-2-6s.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you change your roster, you know?
No question. In a hurry.
And the pressure, Rusty, of having to get it right with those first two picks, like you said, you know, and there's a notion that between 15 and 40, there's not a lot of difference. Okay, whatever. I'm not worried about all that. I'm worried about getting the right guy at 15 and the right guy, what'd you say, 48?
46. Yeah. I tell you this, you look at Brian Daboll with the Giants and their quarterback situation, I don't know how that dude slept last night, because if they don't get this one right, he's somewhere else next year. And listen, I'm not saying Terry Fontenot's on that type of hot seat, but he's got to get this pick right. Like, there's no question they have got to get value at 15. Doesn't have to be, a 10-year NFL All-Pro guy.
What does it need
they
to
better
be?
Get value, they better get value out
has
of this
to
guy.
Be a
this guy better be a 5 or 6 year starter for sure.
That starts immediately.
A rookie on the defensive.
He's going to have to start.
I agree.
There's no question. He's going to have to play what I call meaningful minutes.
Okay, but then he's beating out guys that we would hope by now are starters. So that's the other side of it, right? Is he beating out Ruka Rojo, and is he beating out Arnold Bacady?
What have they done?
Thank you.
Well,
Luka Rojo, I played as much as he has. No offense. We can't trade up on a guy that didn't help us one out.
So if Zach Harrison's not ready to start by his third year, you know, and if Arnold Ebiketie can't be a double-digit sack guy, if it was, what is it?
Who do you think is going to be a better player, Mykael Williams or Zach Harrison?
Mykael Williams, which leads me to this. all the mocks, okay. And you and I were texting yesterday, they have both Jalen and Michael going 8 and 9. Even I mean, if Jalen goes as high as 6, I saw that.
I've spent a little bit of time with Kirby Smart over the years, maybe. The hardest person to find, period. The hardest body type for people to find are the 6'5", 260-pound guys that can rush the passer. They don't exist. Mykel Williams' value is going up every minute of today because he's 6'5", he's 260, he's played at a tough-ass school. I don't know if you guys saw it yesterday with Jay Glazer. I thought it was spot on. He said for the first time ever, he is hearing from GMs all over and scouts. They are questioning kids on who loves football because these kids are coming into the pros with a lot of money. You can't hide it. You can't hide it as much anymore. How much do you love football and how much are you going to grind? I think what the Eagles have done with Georgia players, and I'm just talking about Georgia, the reputation, the stock has never been higher for tough-ass kids that have been coached hard at Georgia, and I think that's going to create more value tonight for Mykel Williams.
Yeah, I think the combination of that and the recent success that the brand of Georgia just feels like, I know my fan base, there may be some boos out on draft night, but they're not going to happen if you say from the University of Georgia. Whatever fan base it is going to hear that, and they're going to be excited. And that could be Malachi Starks, right?
That
could be a slew of guys. But as soon as you hear University of Georgia, your fans are going to go, we get it. So talk about some of the other guys, including him, and how many in the first 2 days, just talking about Thursday and Friday.
Well, I think just talking to people in the last, I would say, about 12 hours, you know who the stock is rising very quickly? It's Jared Wilson. And let me tell you why. Because evidently – this is not a great draft for centers. That is a very important position. And, you know, Jared Wilson, I think he had the fastest O-line 40. He worked out crazy. He was kind of banged up this year. You know, he spent 2 years behind Cedric Van Pran, who went to Buffalo. This kid was a one-year starter at Georgia, was banged up a lot of the year, but incredibly athletic guy. He goes and puts a show on the combine. I'm being told that Georgia is fielding a lot of calls about Jared Wilson. It kind of piques my interest with the Falcons at 46 in the second round. You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
I don't know. I don't know if the Falcons have called about him, but I am told they're getting a lot of calls about Jared Wilson. That could be a guy stock's going up. Tate Radledge had a great workout. This is a guy that anywhere from late second to third round, I think he's in the third round. Smile Munden's the guy that I'm really watching. There's a lot of people that love him. He's had a foot injury. He's battled that off and on for a year. There's kind of a bad history with that particular type of injury. Is he going to drop to the fifth, or is somebody going to say, you know what, that's a tough-ass Georgia kid. He can rush the passer. He's going to wow you in interviews. He loves football. Are they going to take him in the third round? There's some guys, a lot of guys there I think can go in the first three rounds for Georgia.
If I had to give you an over-under on tonight and then Friday night, rounds 2 and 3, and the over-under is, 8.5. You're going over or under?
Under. Yeah.
Under.
8.5.
Do you think the big three go tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And then I think I will go
Malachi.
I'll go six first three rounds. This is going to be a heavy, heavy fourth through seventh round for Georgia. A lot of depth. And I'm telling you right now, if you follow me on social, I don't do a lot of writing, but I have dug into something. Georgia is on the verge of doing something that no team in the history of college football has ever done, and it could happen this week.
Wow.
All right, Rusty.
You want that teaser?
That was good.
Yeah, I like it.
I'll dig it. I'll give it to you tomorrow. I will dig in tomorrow, but I will release that story later today. But Georgia is very close to doing something that no team in the history of college football has. I double-checked it. I had people double-check it. I had double-checked it. We got the facts. They're close. It could happen this weekend.
Okay. This morning I hear Bo ranting and raving that if the Falcons take Mike Green and Michael is sitting there, then I'm not supposed to be upset.
Well, I'll say this, and I've said this from the start. Just be right. Do I want a Georgia Bulldog there? I do. But if Mike Green winds up being a guy, I'm okay with that. But on history and what I have on tape, yes, he played a great game against Ohio State. I saw that. Some questions in his background. I don't know all the situation there. That's kind of what's hurting him.
Let me ask you something. Do you remember his recruiting when he went to Virginia?
I don't.
Okay.
I tell you who I like, and I'm going to tell you the positives, and I'm going to tell you the caution here. James Pierce is an elite pass rusher. Yep. He is an elite. This dude's get-off is insane. The problem he has at times is when people – him. Georgia ran right at him. For two games, he didn't have a lot going on. But I'm telling you, if the Falcons – we got guys that can run support. We're going to turn his ass down, and you're not going to be able to block James Pierce. So if he ends up at 15, I'm fine with that because we're going to get a guy that can rush the passer.
I haven't seen Pierce listed above 17.
He's going to be. Oh yeah. Okay. Twice I've seen it. I think Matt Miller's final mock this morning had James Pierce to the Falcons. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Just know that he's a little light in the pants, but I'm telling you right now, this guy is elite get off. And you want somebody to go get a quarterback on 3rd and 7? This guy.
Wow. All right, my friend. Don't hurt anything tonight. Just I know you're working double shift tomorrow. So
hey, dude, Rusty, I saw your story with your daughter. I don't know what is going on that you're at Bath and Body Works. I don't know whether you're trying to put some equity time in because you're not moving this weekend.
What was he doing there?
Bath and Body Works.
I got suckered, man. We were walking in. I told her we're only going to spend $30. Worst case, I walked out there $35 and three promises later.
Wow.
I took an L.
Could have been a lot worse. Thanks, buddy. All right, Rusty Manziel, he'll be doing morning, and he'll do our show tomorrow as well, working double duty. The whole, do we have that cut? Talking about Kirk Cousins and Raheem, Terry Farno was asked, was he surprised that Kirk Cousins is there? I mean, the fact is, we're a year ago from, like, the Titanic moment in NFL draft history, which is leaving folks dumbfounded by the Michael Penix Jr. pick. And, it's so funny, a year later, Sander, we've been through that night. We've been through the most insane day of calls in the history of the radio station.
That's right.
We've been through the Kirk Cousins opener against Arthur Smith, losing that game, then winning. We were 6-3, then going 6-2. And then it all falls apart, and then we've been through the offseason, and now he shows up at OTAs. Like, the whole history of Kirk Cousins, it feels like it's a 5-year saga that's only been, like, 12 months. Like, he's lived 4 lifetimes. Golly G showed up at Flowery Branch as the backup quarterback, and a year ago, like, the most seismic pick in terms of reaction that we've ever seen. Here was, do we have that, Terry, yesterday? Asking, A, was he in the building, and were you surprised?
I wouldn't say a surprise. It's a, this is a voluntary thing, and so whether a player comes or doesn't come, we have a lot of really good professionals that we know, whether they're here or somewhere else, they're going to really take care of their body, and obviously Kirk is one of those guys. So I wouldn't say a surprise because it is voluntary. These guys, they put in a lot with what they do, and so they deserve times with their families if they decide not to come or to come. So I wouldn't say it was a surprise.
Said something important yesterday, and we haven't really thought about that. It's not like it's some sort of disruption that Kirk Cousins is in the quarterback room. Kirk Cousins is a professional. He treats people really well. He works hard on his body and his skill set.
It's just showing up for work. What's he going to do? I mean, he's just showing up for work. One guy gets more reps than he does.
It was a big, big story that he showed up. It would have been a bigger story had he not shown up. That would have been Kirk Cousins nowhere to be found. That would have been the whole conversation.
I don't know. For a voluntary, though, to say until I know my future.
I think he and his agent said it's not going to hurt one thing to be in that building and be
Cousins
a good teammate.
Kirk Cousins' brand is total professional.
I totally agree.
That's the brand. Yeah. That's what the Steelers, Vikings, Browns, that's what they're trading for. A total pro in the quarterback room, the best backup quarterback in the NFL, or a potential starter, and a guy that is not going to cause a ruckus.
Yeah, I agree.
So that just speaks to brand, right? Shows 100%. Up, showed up at his job. Top of the hour, 10 o'clock, Mike Johnson. He's going to tell us the three most intriguing stories. If it doesn't start with Shedeur Sanders, I'm going to be surprised. We'll have him in studio. Coming up, Steak and Sandra, Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, Steak and Sandra, hour number two. Thanks to Rusty for joining us as we get ready for a really entertaining night, which is the NFL Draft, a really great television product. There's no question about that. Folks love everything about what they've turned this draft into. It's a spectator event as well, although the weather sounds, guys, like Green Bay is not going to be pleasant tonight weather-wise. I feel a little bit bad.
Oh, I hate that.
Sounds like it's going to be really nasty weather and kind of a cool place to have the draft and all that. So we'll be tucked away in our homes. Mikey, you'll be on the air. Mike Johnson, hosts of the morning shift. Is that right?
Yes. Not tonight. I will not be on there tonight. We have a draft special going on Saturday, Bo and myself, from 12 to 4.
Yeah, right? That's what I meant. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
what I meant. Saturday, yeah. I wish I was on tonight.
Who did you get bumped for? Who's on tonight?
Arch and Wes and Mike Conti.
What do those guys know?
I don't. Well, Squid's going to be sitting in the background running the board going, hey, let me in, let me in.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, no, go away. Yeah, but nonetheless, man.
So you got the broadcast crew ready to rock and roll for tonight, right?
Yeah, I wish I was. What's on the
rule?
For one day.
What's the rule with the kiddos tonight? And does wifey know Mikey's got to be in the bunker and just be focused?
Steak, you know how this is. There are certain days of the year where it's just Jesus take the wheel / Lindsay take the wheel, and you're going to have to put both of them to bed. That's just the bottom line. There are just certain days of the year, and tonight is one of them where I'm like, babe, look, I'll throw them into the bathtub, but when I turn my back and walk out and turn on the television, you're in charge. And here's their jammies. And whatever diaper you need, but daddy is sitting down and ordering some food in front of the television.
Let me ask you, is there a pick, if you have to look at, it's a lot of pressure on Terry Fontenot, obviously. You can't be out of the playoffs 7 years in a row. You can't be a general manager that's never made the playoffs and feel like your job is in a great place. If this 15 is what it is and the Falcons are similar to what they've been, which is an 8-9, 9-8 team and not necessarily in the playoffs, is there one – we know there's a year they drafted worse than others, but are there a couple of picks that are going to haunt the Falcons more than others when you think about now the group now in our, whatever, fifth year drafted under Terry?
I don't think it's any of the first rounders. And people point to Kyle Pitts and go, well, you swung and missed on Kyle Pitts. They picked up his option. He'll be back. I think the problem for me therein lies is you haven't done enough after the first round. The second rounders is where you either hit or miss. People will talk about Arnold Ebiketie and Richie Grant and some of those second, third, and fourth rounders over the last couple of years that never developed. You developed Drew Dolman, and he's in Chicago right now, right? So you look at the second, third, and fourth rounders, and it'll be Ruka Roro, Brandon Dorlus. It'll be those names, Zach Harrison. It'll be those
Troy
names
where
you
look
and go, dude, you never developed.
Say
those
to
guys.
Me, the Troy Anderson reach.
Yes.
When it was very clear, Nakobe Dean, who still hasn't had a great run. I mean, a lot of guys,
There
are a lot of Georgia Bulldogs playing for the Eagles that are absolute no-brainers. Nolan Smith, Jalen Carter, they're not yet with Nakobe, but still, You decided to go for a former quarterback, current linebacker from Montana over a Georgia Bulldog that had won a couple of national titles, or at least one.
Yeah.
It's picks like that I think why tonight, if you hear the word Mykal Williams, people are going to be breathing a sigh of relief.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. And we spent all morning wondering if Jalen Walker falls to 15, is he going to be there? I think that's the unicorn pick, in my opinion, if he were to fall. I don't think he's going to be there. But you do get down to Mykal Williams, and we've dealt with where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think that he would be a guy that would be at the top of a lot of people's board at 15.
All right, so what's the most intriguing stuff? As you, sit back and rub your hands and go, okay, this is going to be good. What do you think? When do the dominoes start to fall to make this great television?
Well, I think first and foremost, you'll look at the Jags at 15. There is a lot of stuff coming out of Jacksonville of whether or not they will trade up. And a lot of the dominoes will rely on that. If Jacksonville wants to move to 2 with Cleveland, they're going to have to send a ton of stuff. That means they want probably Travis Hunter at 2, right? And then things start to fall in place after that, where you wonder who Cleveland then takes at 5 if they get the Jags pick, all the way back to really stake holding your breath where the NFC South starts to fall in line at 8 and 9, because I think that's terrifying. We just talked about Jalen Walker and Mykal. I can't tell you how many times I've seen those two guys mocked along with other defensive linemen that will terrify you going to the Saints at 9 or Carolina at 8. And I think the thought, and I think Rusty put this out actually on Twitter yesterday, the thought of Jalen Walker playing for one of those teams and you seeing him twice a year for the next however long, 10 years, makes me sick to my stomach. Mm. That would be the one that I look at and go, dude, I cannot stomach to look at this. If the Saints want to draft Shadur, by all means, have at Shadur. All right, that is what it is. I'm fine with that. I don't love it, but I'm fine with it. But if you start talking about some of these defenders and the Saints and the Panthers taking guys, the Saints and the Panthers have dominated you defensively with their picks over the last 10, 15 years. If you start talking about adding to the Derrick Browns of the world and some of the other pieces, it makes me sick to my stomach.
Shadur Sanders to Pittsburgh late. That's sure. 21. You're seeing it more and more. Yeah. Some of the red flags, some of just the lack of need for quarterback higher up, unlike last year where I think 6 went in the top 15, right?
Yeah.
Where Bo Nix went 15. So you think he really falls all the way to Pittsburgh?
I think he does. I am curious at this point, and I think there is a lot of people that think Pittsburgh could take a quarterback. My curiosity will be, where does that leave Jackson Dart? Does somebody fall in love with Jackson Dart? And I'm going to ask you this reason. Because I think that Pittsburgh's at 21. I think that most people have one quarterback with a first-round grade right now, and that's Cam Ward. If you are looking to trade back, I think the Falcons on their phone calls are probably circling Pittsburgh and saying, dude, if you're one of these guys in the back end of the first round that wants to draft a Jackson Dart or a Shadur or whoever else, you better jump up in front of 21 and come on down to 15.
Listen,
and get
if,
this
you, if you believe, and Thomas has said it, clearly Terry feels it, if you believe that there is a quarterback, you move, you know, hell and high water and don't allow somebody else to get him. And Jackson Dart at 15 would be a great place for Pittsburgh to say, let's not mess around. We've got our quarterback of the future. When you have two quarterbacks, you have no one. How do I know that? Because Justin Fields and Russell Wilson both play for new teams.
Yes.
So if they believe that he is their quarterback, whatever it takes, you got to get up. But there's got to be a fear that somebody else is going
to
take him.
And let me add to that. Now, there has been a lot of conversation, and Les Snead was a guy that was asked about drafting a quarterback. They're on kind of a year-to-year deal with Matthew Stafford right now. Is there a feel that Sean McVay wants to go with a more mobile quarterback? And if that's the case, the Rams right now sit at 26. Is Les Snead looking at the Steelers at 21 and going, dude, if they're going to take Jackson Dart, I'm going to be sick to my stomach. Or maybe they're in love with Shadur. I don't know. But are they looking at 21 and going, we don't want Pittsburgh to pick a quarterback in front of us. We want our quarterback in the future while we still have Stafford on the roster. Maybe that's when that conversation comes up. Because you mentioned Thomas. Les Snead comes from that same line of thought where it's like, dude, if you identify the guy,
yeah,
you got to go get him.
We don't care how many picks, how many players. That's our quarterback, right?
Yes.
If you don't have a quarterback, you have nothing, you can't compete. And that's why they also said, moving forward, we're going to take Michael Penix Jr. because we're never going to be in this position again.
Correct.
It feels like Will Campbell's going 4 to New England. Obviously, everybody has Abdul Carter going at 3 to the Giants.
Yes.
The short arm Will Campbell story, you play the position, the offensive line.
Much like the story from 20 years ago, doesn't it? I mean, a lot of people always said
so
that.
So you don't worry about that.
I don't think there. I think the film always outweighs everything else. I think there is some science to it. I don't completely dismiss it. You know, the law is like, you remember DeBrickashaw first? I mean, he could literally tie his shoes standing up. Some science to it. And you just go back to the film and watch what they're able to do against long arm pass rushers. And a lot of times.
So then the first four pick anticlimactic. If it's Travis at 2, if it's Abdul at 3, and everybody really has New England now not messing around taking Will Campbell at 4.
Yes.
Everything is up for grabs at 5, where, listen, Ashton keeps getting more and more conversation.
Yes.
Like, this is a franchise, possible, you know, Hall of Fame type player.
Yes.
And is clearly the best at his position by a long shot.
You could see Ashton Jeanty at 6. You could see Ashton Jeanty.
That's the Raiders.
That's the Raiders. Dallas at 12. There's a certain – you have to have certain situations, right?
I think they'd love – I think Jerry Jones would love to have Ashton Jeanty in a Dallas Cowboy uniform and have his newest star with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and say, we're back in business.
And again, though, I think a lot of this still relies on Jacksonville at 5 and how much they covet Travis Hunter, because all the whispers are that Jacksonville is enamored with Travis Hunter. Now, how far up would they have to go? They're at 5. How far up would they have to go to get Travis Hunter would be the next question. But again, like you said, when you look from six, which you could see Jeanty going there, all the way back through where the Falcons are at, it's a who knows? You could see three offensive tackles in their stake. You could see two tight ends. You could see three corners. You don't ever know how to piece it together, and that's why when you try to project it, it's like, I don't know.
Jacksonville offering Trayvon Walker, their pick, and next year's number one. There's no way Cleveland doesn't take that, right?
I would have to assume
you get
they would.
Double-digit sack guy. You only drop down to five, right?
Yeah. And the reason
why, you get a one next year.
The reason why is because it includes a player. I think that Cleveland's going to covet a player if they're going to trade down because they've got 10 picks already. Like they don't need to pile on more draft. Like give me a player.
How can you trade? And that's one of the trades you're hearing. But can you really give up Trayvon Walker, who's already proven that, you know, listen, he may not be the all-time world beater,
right?
But he's certainly an 8-year starter at that position and sure. Double-digit sacks.
Sure, he is, but I will say, and I think you would echo this, that new regime in Jacksonville wants to make a splash. Liam Cohen's an offensive guy. I think they like him at wide receiver. That's a new GM who's a young guy that really wants to make his mark known. Like, dude, I'm ready to put my stamp on this thing. I'm not worried about Trayvon Walker. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to go offense, high-flying, pair him with Bryan Edwards, give everything you need to the quarterback down there.
Yeah, if they believe that that they're looking at one of the most dynamic wide receivers in the last 10 years.
Ball skills off the freaking charts.
But Travis Hunter is going to look like nothing we've seen recently. Yeah.
You also, and I'll add this too, Liam Cohen got that job because he supposedly thinks outside the box. You're going to have a head coach that is comfortable thinking outside the box for Travis Hunter.
All right, so I'm going to pay you, when I see you tomorrow, I'm going to pay you $200.
Okay.
But you have to get the Falcons pick right. You get two picks, though.
Okay.
I'm going to, if your first pick, I pay you $200 for. If you get the second one, I pay you $100.
Okay.
What are your two picks?
My first option is going to be Michael Williams.
So if they take Michael, that means it drops there.
Yeah.
I hand you $200. You get one more pick. Who else?
My $100 pick is going to be Shamar Stewart.
Okay.
Shamar Stewart.
So I'll see you tomorrow morning. Where are we tomorrow? At
Stone Mountain.
Okay.
Stone Mountain. I'm at golf clubs in tow.
So if one of those two goes, I owe you money?
Yeah, for sure.
You gonna give me a screwdriver?
I don't want
or something?
The gift card either. I know how steak works. You know what I mean? I don't want the gift.
What?
I don't want the gift card.
Buckhead Life gift card. Shops.
Couple hundred.
Chema. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You're gonna. Hey, all this college football talk has been brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Mike, that's awesome, awesome stuff. Fascinating.
You're gonna have a transfusion tomorrow. And are you playing tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm playing. Me and Parle Ashburn. My guy Brett.
Everybody's obsessed with transfusions.
We're going.
The all-time great golf trip.
I'm just more of just a beer guy, man.
Okay.
You know,
I get
take
it.
The lid off at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Right. They'll do the toast out there they always do at that event.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a good job.
All right. That's Mikey good here stuff. Tomorrow morning. Rusty Manziel with him tomorrow live at Stone Mountain. When we come back, I'll try to convince Sandra she should watch the NBA playoffs last night. Also, the Braves trying to keep this thing cooking on Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, it's 10:25, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden. Are you a NFL draft dude? Are you fired up for tonight? Is it must-see television? I want to know what you're most excited for. And we don't take a ton of calls all the time, but I am anxious to hear whether it is maybe you're a transplant and Falcons aren't number one. Maybe they're one of a few teams. I imagine there's a lot of Green Bay fans driving around Atlanta. Pittsburgh fans are everywhere.
Yeah.
They got to be absolutely fascinated by their offseason dalliances with Aaron Rodgers, the dalliances with Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you're a New England fan wondering, does Drake May get his, you know, big all-pro Hall of Fame offensive lineman to join him tonight? Obviously, Jacksonville fans who live here all wondering, how do you get this thing back on track? So what's the storylines that are jumping out at you? Can the Falcons do something at 15 that gets you really excited other than hearing the word Michael Williams? Those are all stuff. 404-726-0929. Yeah, 404-726-0929. So What is it tonight? Like, what is it? Who's the team? Who's the player? What do you want to see? And, you know, the NFL has done a brilliant job making this a television event.
They're doing a draft spectacular with Pat McAfee and Mike McCarthy, actually, as his guest. Most people thought it was going to be Aaron Rodgers, especially in Green Bay. It is not. It's Mike McCarthy. So and it's YouTube, and it's all the ESPNs.
And that's live. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers doing that in Green Bay would have been awkward. Mm-hmm. And also, he doesn't study the NFL the way Mike McCarthy is studying the NFL. I'm sure this is a training ground for McCarthy to do more media. He'll be the new Belichick, I guess, trying to appear a bunch of places. Yeah. Probably doesn't have the same level of respect, but probably is a more respectable human being than the guy that's at North Carolina right now. But
I don't know, Steak. So UNC, we didn't talk about this yet. UNC is going to play Texas Tech in Ireland now to kick off the 26th season, much like Georgia Tech and Florida State did.
Mm-hmm.
And Bo and Mike were talking about it yesterday morning on their show of every time we turn on the TV, UNC is going to be on the TV now because it's the Belichick factor.
What a absolute farce is going on at Chapel Hill.
Or he just turns it around and they win. I don't know that you're...
The way he has behaved, the Mike Flores move, which does not impress me, the ridiculousness of that girlfriend... And those emails, and that she is immersed in that program. The fact that, you know, his ego is so enormous, and thinking that he's going to, you know, go down to Chapel Hill and be able to get players at a sport he's never coached before, which is college football. He's never coached it. That somehow he's going to be able to secure premier talent. He's not cool. Dion's cool. You know, Bill Belichick's not cool. Bill Belichick's creepy. Bill Belichick is a tyrant. Bill Belichick, you know, God bless.
He's got a lot of money, that NIL deal. He's getting the kids. Okay.
Is he getting the kids? I don't know. I got to see where they're ranked.
Yeah.
Is he really getting the kids?
Yeah, talk to Rusty even about that tomorrow. I saw their number, and I don't have it in front of me, but that NIL number is
a lot of
large
money, Carolina.
Yeah,
right?
They do.
A lot of money.
But I agree with them. I think they are going to be a lot of primetime games,
at least,
to start with, like Dion.
I mean, primetime games, they're not bumping SEC games for Bill Belichick. Listen, every ACC game is televised. Maybe it's a 3:00 instead of a noon, but I think it depends how good they are, right? You know, Dion went out, was it his first game? Where they beat the runner-up in a national title?
Yes, yes.
His first game?
Mm-hmm,
they go on the road and win that?
That's right.
Like, he established credibility.
Well, they stacked a couple wins, and then the wheels came off.
Yeah, relatively speaking. Yeah. But Dion, I mean, he took over the worst program in college football, and then he went out and beat TCU on the road and was like, I've arrived. So, like, okay, let's see Bill Belichick go. Go beat Clemson on the road at Death Valley. Go do that, all right? I mean... Go Texas Tech. I'm going to put some action on them right now. Anyways, Braves, good win yesterday, right?
Great win. Yeah, they take the series. They win 4-1 if you were watching. And Bryce Elder gets the game ball, in my opinion. He went out there and just ate up innings. He was great. 6 innings, gave up just 5 hits and a run. In the bullpen, they only gave up 2 hits, no runs over 3. And Eli White was your hero with that 3-run bomb. They are off today. They traveled yesterday to Arizona. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're in Phoenix, and then they go to Colorado. So there you go.
Arizona having a pretty good year, right?
Yeah.
The whole West is loaded.
That West is loaded. They're 14-10. Do what with you?
What's the Dodgers record? Because, I mean, they're very good, but they're not setting, you know, they're not
The story of Major
records.
League Baseball is the New York Mets.
Yeah.
It is
Cubs
really...
Cubs a pretty good story, too. Cubs beat them again yesterday. Yeah. What's the Dodgers record and what's the Cubs record right now?
Hold, please. The Dodgers are 16-9.
Okay.
The Padres are 17-8. The Giants are 16-9.
What's the
Cubs are 16-10.
Yeah. So
I mean, the Mets are 18-7.
Those are 6 ridiculously good starts to the season.
You're not kidding.
Those are really
the
great
Tigers,
starts.
15-10.
All right, I don't need a whole American League report, all right?
Are
we trying to drive off every listener? Are we going to try to be entertaining?
Okay, let's try the second one.
Okay, let's try to be entertaining. What do you have for, speaking of entertaining, I know you're going to think it's a joke, but do you have that NBA thing you were going to tell me about?
I do. You guys, The Athletic did a poll of 158 NBA players. And we talked a lot about the most the overrated player because Trae Young was listed as
number
third
three,
best.
Yes.
But I thought a lot of the topics, and by the way, you're not allowed to, if it's a team question, you're not allowed to vote for your own team,
okay,
which I thought was interesting. The league's best organization as voted on by the players. What would you say? You haven't seen this yet.
The best organization mm-hmm. in
the NBA.
I don't know what the criteria is, other than you just ask a player what's the best organization.
The reputation, it's the little, Celtics, how do you perceive it?
I would say the world champs.
The Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
And then the Oklahoma City Thunder, Boston. And I'm going to go down
I mean, don't ask
top.
Me. You know I'm going to say Boston, so don't ask me that. Oklahoma City.
Well, you
City.
Can't be unbiased.
Just
it's just a look
just
from 60,000 feet above.
It.
All right,
just
well.
Stop it.
I asked you yesterday, did I do this on the air, the face of the organization?
Do they have a... HBO series called Thunder City, Oklahoma City. I mean, give me a break.
Golden State is perceived, then Oklahoma City.
I heard
there.
You. Okay. There's Celtics for third. Okay, well, what else?
League's worst organization.
Oh, league's worst. I would say the Pelicans got to be somewhere close.
Pelicans are third. The Charlotte Hornets were voted worst by a lot. They were almost 40% of the votes.
I mean,
Wizards, Pelicans, Kings, the
You want to talk about nothing going on. Somebody's getting Cooper Flagg out of those teams, right?
Yeah.
And it's been Washington with the Wizards. I mean, my God.
Good luck. Right.
What else you got?
Aside from your current coach, the best coach in the league. And this one is by a long shot.
The best coach in the league? I don't know. Steve Kerr?
Mark. I'm not going to say his name right. Dino, who's Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, the Oklahoma City.
Kenny
Thunder.
Atkinson, Eric Spoelstra.
Okay.
Quinn Snyder was toward the bottom with just 1%, but he was mentioned, so we'll throw it out there. I love it. Who's the worst coach in the league? You can't vote for your own.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know.
Brian Keefe.
Let's talk about
Mike Budenholzer.
Who?
Doc Rivers.
Mike Budenholzer
was
is
second.
Not well. How many times has that guy been fired, by
a lot.
The way? I mean, Mike Budenholzer, who wanted to own everything in Atlanta. I got to be president of basketball. I got to be GM. I got to be coach. I got to be everything. Guy's been fired like 4 times. He's insufferable.
Yeah.
Coach Bud. All right.
One more, because I do think this is interesting.
Right,
the most underrated. We're talking the NBA. You should be thrilled.
I know.
Most underrated player in the NBA.
Give me a conference, if you even know what conference.
Cade Cunningham, by a long
you
shot.
You didn't even let me even
I
get,
know, but and now right. They're playing me off, so I got to be quiet. Derek White, Norman Powell, Austin Reeves is up there. Interesting. Dyson Daniels was mentioned. Woohoo!
All right.
And the face of the NBA in 3 years, and this went 50% of the votes, Victor Wembanyama. Yeah.
Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
All right. So now we've done our NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When we come back, we'll do our 3 strikes. Right? We'll
yes.
tell you about ESPN is finally figuring to deliver what most sports fans want. We'll tell you about that. Come back. Do you understand it enough to explain it?
I'm going to learn. I'm going to read up. All I know is a lot of people are going to be doing this.
Right.
I think a lot of people are going to get a la carte ESPN. It's going to make you happy.
All right, we'll talk about that as well. Steak and Sandra, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 10:40. My name is Steak. That's Sandra Golden. Thanks so much for being with us. Wise Guys is bringing you the 10 o'clock hour.
WiseGuysProWash.com. Best, biggest. Awesome.
Do they pressure wash?
Pressure washing in Atlanta,
right, so
Georgia.
I feel bad. I told you that good-looking kid from Tech that pressure washes our house,
mm-hmm.
that my wife and my – well, Nola was too young. He first came in, when he was – she was 15 when the guy first showed up. He was a Tech student, so I did not want to hear my 15-year-old. She's a sweet little princess. I don't want her ever talking about – I don't want her talking about men. But Sophie and Kimberly were, like, salivating over this guy,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got his shirt off. This is like it was like, he's like a Georgia Tech student, and he's like a, entrepreneur. And I would just as soon fire him. I don't need that guy.
Yeah,
in the
he's
house,
out.
Right?
Yeah.
So can I hire these guys?
Wise Guys Pro.
They're not good looking.
Dot
like, com. And they're gonna be their shirt
well,
off. Wesley's or anything.
Adorable, but he has a big old staff. You can request an ugly person.
Yeah, just
request
a big
an ugly.
No,
overweight.
Not, no, large, larger.
Yeah. Yep. Don't hit on my wife and my
daughters. No, he didn't hit on it. The guy wasn't. It's just I'd like a larger person.
There you go.
Than this good-looking dude. So
it's like women that don't hire hot nannies. Like, what are you doing? Why are you having that?
Women
in your house
that
all the
don't
time?
Hire hot
like
nannies.
You've just had a baby and you hire some hot nanny to live with you and take care of the kid. Like, what are you doing that for?
You
old and
what
overweight.
What if you trust your husband?
Why? Why would you
why
do
you
it if you have an option?
Why would you trust your husband?
Yeah. I don't care how much you trust your husband. Why do you want that hot girl in your house?
She's 20.
When you just cranked out a baby and you're likely like baby weight.
Right.
No, thank
you. You're not feeling,
you make me feel bad.
You're not feeling good about yourself as
no,
a woman.
Sir. Mm-mm.
She's 24 years old. She graduated summa cum laude at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
She comes from a great family. And she wants to nanny because it's a good gig.
Yeah.
You're not allowing her in the house?
That not at all. No.
Okay.
Do you have an overweight friend who basically was a C student?
Why do we keep getting back to the weight thing?
Because I just know mommies that have just had a baby. You never have felt fatter than that moment, you know? So
would all your girlfriends agree with that?
We've never discussed it, but I'm going to say yes.
How did
all women? Yes.
How did dinner go last night? How many of you were there?
Good, four of us. So we did an April birthday dinner for my friend Christine and Christy and Jen.
Oh, she's the one, the TV personality.
Yes, yes. She used to host Atlanta and Company. Went to Chops.
She went from Atlanta and Company to Chops
for dinner.
She used to be Atlanta Company to Chops.
Yeah, she retired from that show.
You talk about somebody you don't want to have in your house. And, you know, attractive woman.
So you see what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, she's attractive now. How old is she?
Don't even.
Sorry. No, I'm just, you have a beautiful group of friends.
I do, inside and out, yes.
We had a meeting at Solomon Brothers yesterday, right?
Yes,
yes. Normally, Sandra and I don't see each other after the show, but 11:30 yesterday.
Wheels up.
Yeah.
Met with our friend Nick over there.
We're setting our plan for a holiday party. It's going to be different this year, right?
Yes.
Do you know at Solomon Brothers, you walk in, there's a full bar. Like, I just assume Bo bartends our Solomon Brothers event. And that's, like, part of the gig, right? That you have. But now these places, you can drink and shop, like, a lot of places.
And the high-end bourbon, Bo, that they have like, their inventory of, like, high-end, best kind of bourbons. Bourbons and baubles. That's what we should name
bourbons
it.
Bourbons and baubles. So that is, like, a thing, though, of shopping and drinking, right?
Shopping under the influence. You make better decisions.
Have you been to that Nordstrom bar? My wife took me to that. Have you seen that?
Beautiful, isn't
it? The one at Lenox?
Lenox.
They got a
Phipps.
No, I was, no.
Nordstrom isn't at.
Neiman Marcus.
Oh, Neiman's.
They got a bar there, bro. Yeah.
Right in the center of the men's
section. Right in the center, yes.
And their men's department is beyond. When I tell you the celebrities that come to Atlanta, Georgia, and go to the Neiman's Men's, it is known throughout the country for the best men's department in all of the country, not Atlanta.
They have a full bar.
Yeah, and
right
it's
in the
beautiful.
Middle of it.
Yeah.
Right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway.
Useless things we give you here on this show. There you go. Hey, our game of the night is no doubt our Atlanta Falcons, and literally 12 hours from right now, the Falcons will likely be on the clock.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's a good call. 10:40.
Thanks, John Foy. Let's go, Falcons. Do the right thing.
Here is your three strikes questions. How many hours of the draft will you watch tonight? How many total hours? I'm going to say it's going to go from 8 to 12:30. That's 4.5 hours. How many hours will you watch? Okay. A sports radio or TV personality that grew on you. A sports radio or TV personality that grew on you. I would assume that means you didn't start out thinking very much of them, or it was an acquired taste, and then it was like, I kind of like this guy or girl, right?
So TV or radio.
Yeah, sports radio or TV personality that grew on you, and a company perk that matters. You work for a company, what would be a perk that matters, right?
Company perk that matters. Got
yes.
it. Okay.
What do you think people care about these days?
Vacation days.
Vacation days. Mm-hmm. Don't have to be in the office on Friday, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're talking a lot about back to work. You know, everybody has to get back to the office. So Fridays not having to be there, right?
Yes. I
talked to a guy the other day who has 35.
Do you have that for your employees, that you don't come to work on Fridays?
I mean, do I? It is rather barren in our building on Friday. I will say that.
So the answer is
like,
yes.
It's like tumbleweeds.
They're not required to be in the office.
Let's not talk about that. Why? It's just, you're asking me.
I don't know if you know this, but
questions.
You're the boss. Like, you could say, come to the office.
I'm worn down. The whole out of office efficiency shtick, I was beaten down by it. So it's just, we do the best that we can. But it is going to help downtown Atlanta, which we'll talk a lot more about as we get ready for World Cup. We're a year away or so from the World Cup and building up downtown and all things going to be happening. We'll have Andre in here, the mayor. But at least getting people back in office is going to start helping. It's hard to run a business when there's nobody downtown because everybody fleeing, everybody has to be at work. Now companies are like 4-5 days. That's it. Work for the city. Work for the state. Those are the rules.
Okay.
So that'll help a lot of folks that have been struggling, especially downtown. You got to build up. You cannot be an international city without having a vibrant downtown. And the goal is at World Cup in 14 months, there is going to be a ton of condos, apartments, restaurants, bars, going to clean up downtown, and it's going to be exciting, and it will be that way.
They had a massive kickoff lunch 2 days ago. Did you see some of that?
No, we should have been invited. I thought we knew that.
Dan Corso was front and center. The mayor was front and center.
They were talking about what they're going to do downtown, right?
Not only that, but just the amount of people that they were guesstimating, it's higher. Take the over. And how important even we getting the semis and the amount of semis that we're having. Dan Corso should come be a leaders because
our newest leader that's coming in is a guy named John Murphy, who is the president of Coca-Cola, president of Coke, Irish fella, who I had lucky enough to have dinner with, who said to me, and he knows this stuff, and they're a sponsor, Coke's a sponsor. He said, you have no idea. The city is way underestimated.
Did he say idea or did he say idea? Idea. Go ahead.
He said, you have no idea how big. When they say 7 Super Bowls, that is accurate. It is going to be, and this is somebody who's traveled the entire world to get to where he is at Coke and made it clear, like, you know, and again, I would say Coke is a FIFA sponsor. So Coke is attached to this
so
as
great.
You could be.
Wow.
And we are going to experience absolute epic amount of folks rolling through Atlanta. World Cup here is going to be epic.
Let me ask you something. When you go to supper with the CEO of Coca-Cola,
yes, president.
Who pays for supper?
Well,
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
If I invite him.
Whoever invites pays,
yes,
right?
That's what I would say.
Fair enough.
Although sometimes, depending how big they are, they will not allow it for the most part. But you have to be, it's that struggle. If you're asking somebody to spend time with you, and you're networking, then you should be buying dinner. Right?
If, in fact, you're having a business dinner with Muckety Mucks, and let's say 4 of you are at Chops having
yes.
dinner, is there one guy that picks up everything, or do you all 4 throw in credit cards? How does that work with men?
There's not one alpha male that's doing that. No.
So you'll say, here's four cards.
Again, did one person invite 3 people to dinner? Or is it like a bunch of buddies out? When I'm out with my buddies, no, there's not one of us that's paying over everybody else, mm-hmm. right? So it depends on who's doing the invite.
I'm always like fascinated with that kind of stuff.
Like I'm host.
Because I watched this last night at Chops. There was a table of 6.
Dudes?
And when 6 dudes, all dressed nice. I'm going to say businessmen.
Yeah.
When I tell you they got out 6 credit cards.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
So
first of all, I have breaking news from Mike Bell. Mike Bell is listening.
Yeah.
And Mike Bell says, a 19-year-old au pair broke up my buddy Rocco's marriage.
Oh, my God.
There you have it. There you have it.
I'd love a little more. Mikey. A 19-year-old au pair.
Yeah.
Listen.
I'm thinking of you, Rocco.
Men's libido, it's dangerous in general. Look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's not like she was a nice-looking nanny. Did you see who he cheated on Maria Shriver with?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you see what that woman looked like? If that doesn't show you that men are absolute animals, right? That like it's
I
just
know.
Like, sometimes
just,
it's
that's
just,
why the manis are big now. Like
I was gonna say,
the manis is happening.
Sometimes it's just about access and proximity. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the governor. That nanny he slept with, I mean, she's a 3 on a good night for her in a dark bar.
I'm
right?
sure she's a lovely, lovely person. But what you're saying is,
and then that kid,
he did not have to put out any effort.
No effort.
Zero effort, and it was happening.
The simplicity of men, proximity, access. She was there.
I feel bad for Rocco. Mike, keep us posted. Wellness check on Rocco.
So he
19-year-old.
His buddy Rocco's marriage was destroyed by a 19-year-old au pair.
Yeah.
Here's our three strikes questions. How many hours of the draft, a sports radio or TV personality that grew on you, a company perk that matters? 404-726-0929. All right. Hey, Wendy in Lawrenceville. Wendy, do you agree with Sandra? You can't have a hot-looking 20-year-old as a nanny in any scenario?
I 100% agree with her.
Right. Wendy knows what's up.
I mean, that's like saying you can't trust your husband. You can't trust that, you know, you can't have an attractive woman around. That's just, is that how simple we are?
Yes.
Yes. Very simple.
How many hours of the draft are you going to watch?
I think it's four. I'm watching every minute of the draft.
A sports radio TV personality that grew on you.
Pat McAfee. I used to turn the TV off when he came on. Now it's the complete opposite. I really like him.
My wife loves him. A company perk that matters.
The gym.
Oh, having a gym. That's a good one. All right, thank you.
Wendy was excellent. Thank you, Wendy.
Okay, get it. I love Wendy. We communicate a lot. She's a great caller, but get a better phone situation.
Don't be like that.
Mike in Douglasville. Hey, Mikey, how many hours of the draft are you going to watch?
Hey, what's going on, people?
See, that's a real phone. Thank you. How many hours tonight, bro?
I'm probably going to watch till after the Falcons draft.
All right, but 2.5, I'd say. A sports radio or TV personality that grew on you?
Don't be mad at me. Thank you, Sandra.
Wait, at first, you weren't digging the female host, or what was it?
No, it was just you. I hate that they cut into Andy Randy's time.
Oh, okay. You were mad at us.
You know.
So was Randy.
You good.
So was Randy.
Yeah, don't ask Randy about it. It's very upsetting.
No, he's fine now. A company perk that matters.
A dress for your day, man. Dress for your day.
What's that?
What does that mean?
That means you don't have to dress up.
Oh, it's dress for the day.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay.
Okay, gotcha.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Marine Tim, how many hours of the draft are you going to watch tonight?
Zero.
A sports radio or TV personality that grew on you?
Michelle Tafoya.
And a company perk that matters?
Unfortunately, I'm having to use this, my... stepson passed away, and I've got as long as I need to help get everything done as far as arrangements and the funeral and so on and so forth done.
Well,
so sorry.
Thoughts and condolences to you and your family. Jeez. It's awful. That's when you learn what a company is all about when they're sensitive to anything.
It's true.
Like
how they treat you when adversity reveals results with companies, too. Bo just said in my ear, it's a big night for fantasy dorks, too. Right?
Huge night for us.
Why is that?
Well, so when we look at the draft a lot differently also, so the biggest thing that I'm keying in on before 9 where the Saints pick, because I'm interested in that, is where Ashton Jeanty goes.
Where Ashton Jeanty goes
is going to determine who will be the number one pick, and it's probably going to be him regardless, but we really want, the fantasy community wants Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders.
Did you know it was a big fantasy night? I didn't even think about that side of it.
Not so much for the, you know, trench guys. But all the skill position players, we want to know where they go.
How high is Travis Hunter going to go in the draft next year?
Well, it depends on
what he's going to play wide receiver, let's assume. How big is
he? If he goes to play wide receiver, it still depends on what situation he goes into.
All right.
Is he going to a team?
He's going to Cleveland. He's going to Cleveland.
He'd still go pretty high in redraft leagues. He'd probably go.
And Ashton Jenty's going to go.
Just name value alone.
Ashton Jenty's going to go as high as it gets.
Ashton Jenty would go like top 10 in redrafts if he goes to the Raiders. In dynasty leagues, he'll go number one.
All right. Wow. Yeah. Listen to that. You hear what's going on? All right. I'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Y'all enjoy the draft. Falcons.
Rusty with me tomorrow. Drew Butler with me tomorrow. We're on the road at, where are we broadcasting from? I don't know. Some swanky golf course. I think we're up at Lake Lanier, something like that. Whatever.
Stone Mountain.
I apologize. We're at Stone Mountain tomorrow. Talk to you. Bye.